So here is today's question. What are the most important days of the year? Okay, talk to your neighbor about it. Maybe you need to meet your neighbor. But what are the most important days of the year? Talk about that. Okay. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. This is a chapter of important days. And they're not our important days, but they were important days for the children of Israel under that old covenant made through Moses. And so let's go ahead and we'll read through these and we'll talk about them. And we'll see what we can learn from these days. So Leviticus chapter 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies.'" Okay, I'll stop there, we'll pray, and then we'll walk through these sacred assemblies. Father in heaven, thank you for this day and for how you have assembled us into your presence. Indeed, it is a sacred assembly this morning. And we pray that you would continue to move in our midst and that you would have your way. Help us to know you better and help us, Lord, to live pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So there's just two things I want to point out just in that opening, that these are appointed feasts of the Lord and that they're sacred assemblies. And so the Lord is saying, I am giving you these times to feast. I'm giving you these times to celebrate. I'm giving you these times to kind of put on your calendar. And notice that they're a sacred what? Assembly. Some of your translations may say a convocation. What's being emphasized there is that you don't do this by yourself. Like, you don't stay home from the feast and celebrate. You go to the feast and celebrate. And so these are feasts, these are days, these are things that everybody is to put on their calendar, and you show up and you celebrate and you honor the Lord together. And so it's to the Lord, and Victor, you going to usher them around back? Yeah. Hey, guys. I know it's fun in here, but there might be better places to be. All right. So I just want you to see that the days here that are given to the Israelites, it's not enough to kind of stay in your tent and keep Sabbath or stay in your tent and celebrate Passover. No, you're supposed to get out and do this together. And that together you honor the Lord. And so look at the first one. And Marla, you were right on target. I don't know if you read through the scripture ahead of time or not. But look at verse 3, the first sacred day, the Sabbath. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, think about that for a moment. It's a day of rest, but it's also a day of coming together. It's a sacred assembly to the Lord. And so you honor the Lord, you give that day to the Lord, you're not doing your normal business, you're not doing your normal work, but you are to assemble and to gather and to honor the Lord together. And what happens is that as we honor the Lord, we begin to remember what the Lord has done for us. And if you look at the commandments to keep Sabbath, if you look in Exodus chapter 20, you keep Sabbath because God's our creator. He made us. And he made us, and then on the seventh day he rested, and he made that day holy and blessed it. And so 6 days God worked, the seventh day God rested, God took up residence. And we are to take that day to give attention to God rather than pursuing our normal cares. If you look at Deuteronomy, in chapter 5 where we get that commandment, it says, because God brought you up out of the land of Egypt. God gave you rest from the slavery, the bondage that you were under. And so Sabbath becomes a way of remembering that God is our maker and God designed us for God, and that God is our rescuer, that God is the one who redeems us and saves us. And so the Sabbath, they did Saturday, and we're a people of the resurrection, and so we do Sunday. But kind of the same thing, remembering what God has done, and that God has made us and that God has saved us. And so we give this day to remember that and to build each other up and to focus. We come together. Look at the next one. It's a little bit longer. Verse 4. These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. So, what month are we in? The first month. Okay, so the first month on, what was it, the 14th day of the month? Passover. What does Passover celebrate? God bringing them out of Egypt. When the angel of the Lord passed over Egypt and you had the death of all the firstborn, and that was the night that Pharaoh let them go. That was the night that the Lord brought them out. And why this week of eating unleavened bread? It was to remind them that the Lord brought them out so quickly that they didn't have any time to let their bread rise. And so they had to make their bread without yeast, not going to sit around and wait for the yeast to affect the bread so that it rises, because they're going to have to get out fast. The Lord is rescuing and it's time to go. And so they have that week of unleavened bread, so that every meal that you're eating flatbread, what's that flatbread remind you? That God rescued us, that God brought us out of Egypt. And so, you know, that's their first day of celebration, first month of their year, and they always remember how God rescued them, how God saved them. And they have a celebration, and they have a week of eating flatbread to remind themselves of that. And maybe you might even go a little bit further and say the reason why the bread was flat was because they were ridding themselves of the yeast of Egypt, so that the yeast of Egypt would not infect their lives. And so every week they would get, during this week every year, they would get rid of all of their yeast and start new, because you don't want to bring Egypt with you out of Egypt. And so again, what does this help them do? It helps them remember whose they are, who rescued us. And it helps them to remember how they are to live, that they are to live faithful to the one who rescued them, that they are to rid themselves of the yeast of Egypt, the yeast of the world, and to live faithful to God. Look at the next one. It begins at verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land that I am going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain that you harvest." By the way, that first grain would have been barley. "He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day of the Sabbath, or the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb of year old without defect, together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made to the Lord by fire, pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of 1/4 of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day that you bring this offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live." Now, we don't know the exact day, but we know that we're in the springtime. And this is the offering of first fruits. And the first fruits, the first crop that they would harvest was barley. And so when that barley, and barley is used for making bread, when that barley is ready to be harvested, what do you do with it first? First thing you do is you honor God. And so you bring an offering of that barley to God, and you're thanking God for the harvest. You're thanking God for his faithfulness to provide. You're thanking God for how he has brought you out of Egypt and brought you into a new place and is blessing you and providing for you. And so now it's time to offer thanks to God. And God, we're giving you the first because you're worthy of the first. And we also believe that you will continue to provide, that we can trust the first to you because you're so good and you're going to give us everything that we need. Okay, are you catching it? Now, what happens as they do this together? As they do this together, it is this kind of reminder for all of them that, hey, like we sang today, look what the Lord has done. The Lord has provided for us. The Lord has blessed us with a crop. The Lord is faithful and good. And it's like the better that you can remember how good God is, the easier it will be to obey and to live faithful to the Lord. So that's the barley harvest. Now look what happens next. This happens 7 weeks after that. So verse 15. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. This new grain is wheat. Okay, so the barley was first, the wheat was second, and so now the wheat is ripe, it's ready to harvest, and you bring that harvest into the Lord as a wave offering. And you get all the details in there about all the sacrifices that are to be made. And it's a big community offering sacrifice celebration. And look at verse 22. We get some instructions. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the sojourner amongst you. I am the Lord your God. And so as you celebrate God's blessings, you're also making those blessings available to others. You're not going to be stingy with what God has blessed you with. You're not going to go through your harvest field and get every last, grain that you can get from it. That you're going to leave some of it unharvested intentionally so that people who aren't blessed with the land that you're blessed with can gain from it, can glean from it. Okay, now again, this is a sacred assembly. This is a time of coming together and celebrating how God has been good, how he's blessed us, how he's provided for us. And when they do that, I'm sure they're giving thanks to God. I'm sure they're testifying to one another. The Lord was faithful. He's provided for us. And what does that do? As they remember that, that empowers them, that motivates them to keep being faithful, to keep trusting God, that he really does provide, he really does make a way, he really does bless. Lord, we are thankful. Okay, now that's the first half of the year. Okay, and so their first month would have been somewhere around March, April. And so we have, kind of the early spring, now to the summer. And so kind of the first half of the year. Now look with me at verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the 7th month. How many months are in a year? 12. First half of the year, 1 through 6. So the 7th month is what? It's the start of the second half. Okay, And yeah, for us, it's July. For them, when they started their first month, it was somewhere around March or April, probably March. And so the 7th month would be more like October for them. Okay? But the thing I want you to pick up on, we're halfway through the year. And so it's the start of the second half of the year. What are they to do? On the first day of the 7th month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire. So on this day that starts out the second half of the year, what are you supposed to do? You have this sacred assembly to the Lord. It's not going to be a regular work day. And there's a trumpet blast. What's the purpose of the trumpet blast? Well, the purpose of the trumpet blast is it's like a wake-up call. It's a reminder. And it's a reminder to serve the Lord. And it's a reminder to call upon God. God, remember us. You've been good to us. You've been faithful to us. You've seen us through the first half of the year. But God, we know we need you for the second half of the year. And so remember us and make your favor to shine upon us. And so it's this wake-up call to call upon God to remember that, hey, you brought us through the first half. Praise God. But we need you to get through the second half. Okay? And so, I don't know. Do you ever need a wake-up call? Would it help if that blast the trumpet? I mean, that's what their trumpet blast was for. A wake-up call to call upon God. God, remember us. We need you. Okay, then, still in the seventh month. Seventh month is a big month. Verse 26. The Lord said to Moses, the tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Okay, the Day of Atonement, we've looked at this before, but the Day of Atonement was the day when they would have the two goats. And the one goat would be a burnt offering to the Lord. And the second goat, the high priest is going to place both hands on the head of the goat. And the high priest is going to pronounce, confess all the sins of Israel for that past year. Going to confess them and lay them on the head of the goat. And then that goat, carrying the sins of the people, is taken out into the wilderness and released. And so it's a day in which God deals with their sin and removes their sin from them through the sacrifice and through that second goat. And this has happened every year, happens the 10th day of the seventh month. And what does that constantly remind them? That God is a God who deals with sin mercifully. That God never wants our sin to come between God and us. And so God provides a way to deal with sin. God's looking to make new starts with us. And so here's a day that you know it's coming, and I can have a clean start with God. God wants a clean start with me, with us. And so the Day of Atonement, and it just is this annual reminder, God really wants to make this thing work. God's really made a way to deal with all the ways that I've messed up so that we can have a fresh start and live new. The next one, look with me to verse 33. This one's called the Feast of Tabernacles. Still in the seventh month. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins. And it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work for 7 days. Present offerings made to the Lord by fire. And on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It is a closing assembly. Do no regular work. And so you can read more about the details of it, but I want you to see that the purpose of this one, and if you read through, you'll see, the purpose of this one is to remind them of how the Lord brought them through the wilderness. And so they are, for this week, they're to basically make tents and to kind of camp in those tents. And it's you know, a tabernacle, a little booth, they'll use palm branches, whatnot, to kind of construct a tent. And it reminds them of how they camped out in the wilderness, how God brought them out of Egypt, and they didn't go straight into a new house in the promised land, but they had to kind of camp along the way. And who took care of them? God did. And so it's this reminder, this celebration, we serve a God who takes care of us day by day by day, even when we're going through the wilderness, even when we're going through the desert, even when we're going through tough times and hard places. God keeps making a way for us. And so you can imagine it probably was fun for the kids to, hey, we get to sleep outside tonight. Hey, we're going to camp together. So you can imagine it being kind of this fun activity, but think about the lesson that the activity teaches. That as they are camping together, the stories are going to get told about how God didn't just rescue us, but God took care of us. And God brought us through and provided and leading us to a new place. And so a sacred assembly, that's what they are to do. And I hope you see that it's a way of remembering and it's a way of teaching. And it's a way of kind of going forward. Now, these are the sacred assemblies that are outlined here in chapter 23, this calendar that God gives them. And again, I want you to kind of stop and think for a moment. Okay, what do we see happening here? We see being remembered that God's the one who brought them out of Egypt. We see being remembered that God is the one who provides for them through the harvest. And that first harvest, that second harvest, that God takes care and provides. And so you give in thanksgiving and trust. We see that God is the one who takes them through the wilderness to the promised land and makes a way for them. And that God is the one who deals with their sins so that there can be a new start. Okay, are you kind of catching it? And most of all, the weekly practice of keeping Sabbath, of assembling together and giving time to the Lord. Now, Jesus did not renew all this. Okay, Jesus fulfills it, but Jesus doesn't give us instructions, hey, on the 15th day of the seventh month, you guys are supposed to put up tents in your front yard and sleep there. Like, Jesus doesn't give us that command. Okay, Jesus doesn't give us a command in terms of when the wheat harvest comes in, even if you don't have any wheat, you better go find some that you can glean and bring me some wheat. Okay, Jesus didn't renew all these commands. These were commandments for Old Testament Israel back then and there. But these commands show us something about who God is and how God provides a way to honor God and to remember and to grow in faithfulness. All of this is to help the Israelites become a more faithful people, a better reflection of who God is. Remember, God called them to be holy so that they were a people set apart to God, and so that everybody who met this people and saw how they lived would come to know who God is. That God is our maker, that God is our savior, that God is the one who is worthy of our worship. And so you can just imagine, how come you're not working today? Well, it's a holy day. And this is why it's a holy day. This is what God has done for us. And we honor God. So you can just imagine how it would kind of work. Okay, so not God's commandments to us, but still God's word for us in terms of it reveals about the character of God and maybe something about how we can begin to live more faithful. And so that's why I asked the question, what are the most important days for us on the calendar? And I heard a number of things. And yes, I love it that I heard, Sundays. The Sunday is a super important day on the calendar because that's the day we come together. And when we come together, what do? Well, yeah, we eat, we talk, we laugh, we sing, we worship. I think maybe one of the things that we do without even recognizing it is that when we come together, we remember. That we remember what God has done. Even with communion, what Jesus say, do this in remembrance of me. And so communion is this key element of helping us, sacrament of helping us to remember what God has done, and we need that weekly reminder. Is anybody out there going to remind you what God has done for you? Is anybody at work? Is anybody at school? Is anybody in the neighborhood? Is anybody going to kind of stop and write, hey, do you remember what God did for you? No. Social media? Likely not. Your 6 o'clock news? Likely not. And so if we don't intentionally come together and work on our memories, it becomes too easy to forget what God has done for us. Because we get wrapped up in whatever is pressing upon us. But when we come together and we remember, what does that do to us? I think in that remembering, God is at work changing us so that we live more grateful to God. And as we live more grateful to God, we begin to live more faithful to God. And as we live more faithful to God, we grow in our love for one another. I heard other people mentioning kind of the, you didn't know you said it maybe, but kind of the Christian calendar. And so I heard Christmas. What's Christmas do? Well, it reminds us that God sent his son as a babe in a manger to meet us where we are. I think I heard somebody talk about Good Friday. What does Good Friday do? It reminds us that God gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. I heard somebody mention Easter. Easter, this annual reminder that Jesus is risen, that he's victorious over death. And so that even though we're under a death sentence, we live under the promise of resurrection as we place our hope and faith in him. Pentecost, 7 weeks later, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This reminder that God is with us through his Spirit, empowering us to be faithful witnesses. And as the calendar comes around, I heard somebody say Advent. And Advent reminds us not just that Jesus came, but that Jesus is coming again, bringing God's kingdom in all of its fullness. And so again, I'm just trying to get my head around chapter 23 and think, okay, we kind of got something like that today. In terms of these times of assembling together to remember what God has done, and as we remember what God has done, God works through that to change us and to make us more faithful and to make us more loving. I mean, you think about each of those days that I named. Are we supposed to celebrate that by ourselves? No, each one of those days we come together as the people of God to remind ourselves of what God has done. And then, yeah, every week we're working on our memory. And we take communion, working on our memory. This is what Jesus has done for us. And so Jesus, help me to receive everything that you've done for me. And as I receive everything that you've done for me, transform me and change me so that I become a faithful reflection of who you are and that I'm able to live faithful out of gratitude for what you've done. And so that's kind of the message for today, is to remember what God has done and let that kind of soak in, take it in, eat it, drink it, so that it becomes a part of us and we find ourselves living that memory out in gratitude to God, faithfulness to God, and love for one another. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for gathering us together into this sacred assembly. We're here because of you. And we pray that you would bless us with good memories. Memories of what you've done. Not so much memories of what we've done, but memories of what you've done. How you gave your son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that we might be reconciled unto you, that that we might know your peace, that we might have the hope of resurrection. We thank you for how you've given your Spirit, that we don't follow Jesus in and of ourselves by our own strength, but you give us your Spirit to help us to follow Jesus, to remind us of the ways of Jesus, and to empower us to testify to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for just all the ways that you gather us to remind us that we're yours, that we belong to you. And we pray that you would bless us afresh with your Spirit today, empowering us to be faithful witnesses, trusting you, living faithful to you, growing in love for one another as you have so loved us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And I invite you to stand. We're going to work on our memories a little bit more this morning by taking communion. And so, Vonda, if you could lead us in the first one that we sang this morning. And as Vonda leads, and I invite you to come and receive the bread and receive the cup, and then return to your seats, and we'll take communion together.